This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If we have heard one consistent message from experts and policymakers who've had conversations with us here on Stateside, it's that the challenges faced by the city of Detroit are providing opportunity for creative thinking in terms of reclaiming and revitalizing neighborhoods that were once vibrant and now suffer from an exodus of homeowners and business owners. What's being tried and tested in neighborhoods in Detroit can provide lessons for cities all over Michigan and beyond. Heidi Elcock and Tom Godiris are right there in the trenches, if you will, of the various efforts that are happening in Detroit, efforts to breathe new life into the neighborhoods. Heidi Elcock is with the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign, and Tom Godiris is with the Grandmont Rosedale Development Corporation, and they join us in the studio today. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Heidi, I want to start with you. Tell us, how did the original mission of the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign get altered by the mortgage foreclosure crisis?
That's a great question. We initially, when we started the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign, we were concerned about, then it was 60,000 properties that the city held that were old tax reverted properties. And almost overnight, in about 2008, we started getting calls from our partners and clients on the ground that people were waking up and they were seeing empty houses, and they couldn't get their arms around who owned them, what was happening, where were people going. They were just emptying. And it became very clear as the housing market collapsed that mortgage foreclosure was going to be a huge threat in Detroit, mm-hmm. and particularly in neighborhoods that hadn't seen much vacancy until the mortgage foreclosure crisis at that time.
Neighborhoods that were doing pretty well. They were
historically, yes.
Yeah.
All things considered, yes.
Because just kind of, if you can kind of describe for us the cycle that happens once these homes start popping up that all of a sudden nobody's in them, then what happens?
Well, unfortunately, they become havens of illegal criminal activity. There's been, you know, mm-hmm. there's stripping, there's squatting, there's all kinds of things that happen. Even in the best scenario, a house that sits vacant is going to deteriorate very, very fast. So even if there's not squatting, even if there's not criminal activity, it does become a nuisance and an eyesore very quickly. And it drags down property values mm-hmm. and it drags down morale of neighbors and people who have to make decisions every day about where they're going to live.
So it's like a slippery slope.
Absolutely.
Then.
And one vacant property can be very, very dangerous on an otherwise stable block.
Just one.
Just one.
And then here you had so many. Now, Tom, how did this all play out in your area in Grandmont Rosedale?
Well, the Grandmont Rosedale neighborhoods have been among the most stable communities in Detroit really for decades. Mm-hmm. And as Heidi just alluded to, we used to have very low vacancy rate. Our organization was started to deal with vacant property, but at the time, 20-some years ago, there were only probably a couple dozen vacant properties in the whole area. Beginning with the mortgage foreclosure crisis, we've seen vacancy rate go from about 2% in 2000 to 11% in 2010. So we saw a big jump just across that period, and most of it was in the last few years of that decade. And probably the biggest impact that it's had on our community is that it has driven values down. As more vacant properties, especially foreclosed properties, come on the market at a distressed price in distressed condition, that all of a sudden those vacant properties start to dominate the housing market and bring everyone else's values down. Now, one of the consequences of that, and this isn't just true of our neighborhood, it's
sure.
true all over the country, is that homeowners find themselves underwater on their mortgages, which only encourages more mortgage foreclosure and more vacancy. So that, just as you said, it's that sort of slippery slope
yeah.
if you don't take action and try to do something to stabilize that.
And as you pointed out, Tom, these are really scenarios that are being played out in every corner of our state in Michigan right now. So when all of this became apparent and you started getting this flood of calls, your mission changed. So what is it that, we'll start with your group, with the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign, kind of as an overall group, what can be done to stem this?
Two things that we look at. One is, what can neighbors, citizens, mm-hmm. Activists do on the ground day to day to keep the quality of life up in their neighborhoods? People like Tom
yeah.
and other residents that live in Tom's neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They're very lucky to have a leader like Tom. And Tom knows that he's lucky to have a lot of residents in his neighborhood that also are willing to roll up their sleeves. So it's a combination. So we definitely are looking at what can be done on the ground with finite resources, but really channeling feeling that passion and commitment of neighbors to keep themselves mm-hmm. safe and to take care of each other. On the other end of the spectrum, though, we have to look at big policy and systems issues. We have to look at some of the governmental processes around tax foreclosure and other things that either exacerbate vacancy or that don't take care of vacant properties in a way that protects the quality of life in the neighborhoods where they exist. So we have to look at changing the system, and we have to look at what we can equip citizens with, and so that ultimately the two end up working together.
My sense would be, just from everything we hear, that the city of Detroit, so the policy makers in the city of Detroit at Detroit City Hall, are really not in a position to provide a lot of support, certainly not in terms of monetary support, because there is no money there. And we keep hearing a lot of talk about the bottom up, where mm-hmm. people just say, you know what, we got to do it for ourselves. Is that what you found, Tom, in your neighborhood group?
Yes, and our neighborhood has a long history of people organizing themselves mm-hmm. and not waiting for someone to come to our rescue
yes.
and sort of taking the initiative. But I do think that part of our success and what's where we see success in the city is when people act strategically. And really what we're looking for from the city is to support that kind of strategic action. So in a community like ours, where the vacancy is much higher than it used to be, but it's still very low, mm-hmm. You would use different kind of strategies.
Such as? What would be some of the strategies, especially that a cash-strapped city, which most of the ones in Michigan are, that what could a city do in terms of policy?
Well, in our case, I mean, we attacked this problem from a number of different avenues. We purchase and renovate and resell vacant single-family homes as one way of getting these houses back into active use and market our neighborhood and bring people into our community. And we just recently have been awarded some funding from the city of Detroit to continue that program. So we're very pleased about that, and we see that as a way that the city can support the activities that we're doing on the ground. On the other end of the spectrum, we do have a small number of houses in our neighborhood that are dangerous buildings. It's a small percentage, but those can be very destabilizing in a community. So at the same time, we're lobbying the city and trying to get them to move more quickly on demolition. So I know that's a priority for the city, but I think sometimes we would like to see sort of more strategic decisions about when and where and what order these things get done.
What else could people do in their own, to take the power in their own hands, knowing that there probably isn't going to be much quick response from City Hall?
Well, they do a lot. I'll give you an example. We have a mini-granting program that our organization runs, and we provide grants up to $5,000 for collectives of neighbors that are basically uh-huh. working together to do things like board up properties that the city doesn't have resources to board up that are vacant. Some of the neighborhoods will install exterior motion detector lights as a way to sort of deter illegal activity. And some have even come up with elaborate systems where a neighbor will watch a house, and if something happens, there's a phone tree that the neighbors will ignite in order to, get the security guard, if there's one in the neighborhood, to attend to the matter. Somebody else will call the police. I think each neighborhood is sort of deciding for itself what their priorities are, what their biggest sort of needs are, and then coming up with their own systems based on their volunteers and their own creativity. That's a really important part of this.
What about the neighborhoods that are just almost vacant, almost desolate? And we have heard many vivid descriptions from people who have come onto the show and who are living in the city and writing about it, of kind of a feeling of the Wild West. What do you do to revitalize an area that's pretty desolate?
That's a really interesting question, and one that Detroit has been looking at for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the city of Detroit is in the process of wrapping up something called the Detroit Works Project. Mm-hmm. There's a long-term plan. The Detroit Works Project is going to release in 2013, and it looks at this issue of what do you do with high vacancy areas. One thing the plan shows is that high vacancy areas are probably not going to be densely populated neighborhoods in the future. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that they can't be productive. And so there's a variety of landscape options that are different and new that we haven't really talked about that this plan points to. I think that we also have to look at land as a potential driver for economic activity. So it's not just about landscape, and it's not just about not being houses, but it's yes. also about how do we attract new kinds of industry? How do we make things? How do we let the land produce things?
Could
that
the Hanted Tree Farm to jump in?
I think it's an example of a kind of land use
yeah.
that the Detroit Works Project Long-Term Plan has looked at. And I think it's going to be more than farms. It's going to be more than orchards. But it's all of those things, and it's finding the right places within the city where those types of uses will make sense in the long run and where they will add something productive to Detroit's economy.
Yeah, where I've seen a change within communities in Detroit is that I think people are starting to look at futures for their neighborhood that use land in different ways. That doesn't necessarily just get filled up with houses, but where that can be a positive future for their community, whereas that was always seen as only a negative, and that most neighborhoods were making plans about building new houses and repopulating. And I think there's been a change, not just at city government, but on the ground in neighborhoods where people are starting to envision different types of uses for their neighborhoods, where they're greener, where they have more, they put land into other kinds of productive mm-hmm. use. And that's been a big change, I think, psychologically for residents. And there's a lot of very creative things happening on the ground in that regard.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, speaking with Heidi Alcock from the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign and Tom Gudiris with the Grandmont Rosedale Development Corporation about what can be done to revitalize struggling and challenged neighborhoods. We're talking about lessons learned in Detroit, but now I'd like to kind of get your thoughts on what other cities in Michigan and outside of Michigan might learn. Heidi, what lessons do you see that could be learned from what you're doing in Detroit and applied elsewhere?
You know, the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign and then also this Detroit Works project mm-hmm. that I mentioned, both efforts have learned something I think really important, which is that citizens are the greatest asset of a place. They are the best sources of information. They know the story of every property on their block. There's no data source that's going to tell you the cycle of abandonment and ownership that's happened like a neighbor can. So they're wonderful sources of information, but they also are the ones with aspirations and ideas that might actually work in some difficult places. And so I think it's really important for there to be a partnership approach between government and citizens about solving these complex problems. You know, what we've learned is that citizens actually are the ones who come up with the best set of strategic priorities. Government doesn't have to decide what tough choices they have to make with their scarce resources. They don't have to decide what properties need to be demolished. Engage with community residents. They're the experts. They'll tell you. They understand that not all of them can come down, but they'll tell you which ones, if they come down, will make the biggest difference. And so I think that that partnership approach is something that government's shrinking everywhere. Government should be harnessing mm-hmm. the expertise, energy, commitment, and aspirations of citizens in order to solve these complex problems.
And Tom, with your experience working in your neighborhood to keep it vibrant, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the things that's worked well for us is that we do try to take a comprehensive approach to addressing this problem. We don't just follow one strategy and think that's going to solve it. So we're working on the one end of the renovation, you know, putting houses back on the market, bringing new buyers into the neighborhood. As I mentioned before, working on demolition, organizing residents to try to preserve houses. We're providing grants and loans to low-income residents so they can stay in their homes. So we put together a whole comprehensive approach. But it also, we like to think that it's strategic in the sense that it's building on the assets of the community. It's building on the positive market forces that exist in the community. And we're trying to, you know, sort of direct those in the right direction for our community. But we're not trying to do the impossible.
There are some areas, we'll have to be honest, there are no positive economic forces really in some of these extremely devastated neighborhoods. Yours is, there's other areas where you say you really have to completely.
Well, the goal's different in
yes.
a place that has higher vacancy, right? And in mm-hmm. Tom's neighborhood, I think the goal is stabilize the neighborhood by yeah. stabilizing the market. And there's a realistic opportunity to do that.
Yes.
In other places, the goal is stabilize quality of life so that the people who do live here are not negatively impacted by this vacancy. So I think you just have to tailor the goal to the conditions on the ground.
And some neighborhoods may have seen a decrease in housing demand, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they don't have other assets that they can build
That's
on.
Right. Heidi, when you think about what it might look like, say, 10 years down the road. What are your hopes for Detroit and other cities in Michigan that are facing that struggle of keeping neighborhoods vital?
Well, you know, traditionally, when you do a plan for a city, it's all about the land. And I know we've talked about vacancy, and so we're talking about land. But I would say that land is a driver, but it's not sort of the end. I'd like to see land as a driver for jobs for Detroiters in Detroit that promote prosperity and create real opportunity within the city limits. I'd like to see land be an opportunity to create some environmental projects and focus that maybe we haven't had in the city of Detroit because of the kind of vacancy that we've had all this time. We've been so focused on keeping the people that we have. We haven't thought about some of these environmental goals that other cities have. So I think we can use land as a way to start thinking about those things progressively. And I'd like to see land being used as a way to create community cohesion, that citizens can come together around small-scale projects, community gardens, other types of positive land uses, and that this creates a sense of place, a sense of community that people want to invest in. And so I'd like to see land as a driver, but I'd like to see these other things happen as a result of all the land that we have available in the city.
And Tom, your hopes looking ahead, say, 10 years down the road?
Well, you know, we, as I mentioned before, we have a community that has great assets to start with. We have a very strong housing stock. Our houses were mostly built in the 20s and 30s, so we have this kind of unique historic housing stock to build on. We have beautiful tree-lined streets and parks. You know, it's been a great neighborhood, and we have the bones to keep it a great neighborhood. There are areas that we would like to see enhanced. We'd like to see more commercial development, and we kind of don't have the commercial core that we think is of high quality as our residential. So there's certainly ways to improve. But what we are seeing that our community is still attracting residents who have a lot of choices. Half of our most recent buyers have moved into Detroit and into our community from the suburbs. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are really rooting for Detroit, who want to be part of Detroit's revitalization, a number of people who are moving back into Detroit. And so not only do we have that strong physical characteristic, we have a very strong sense of community, which is equally important. And I think there are a lot of good prospects for our community down the road. Now, we do have to deal with this whole foreclosure issue. We have to come out of that, the kind of long-term problems that are, right, you know, legacy of that foreclosure crisis.
Are you feeling that's getting better? Have we cratered? Are we coming out?
I do think we are coming out. We are seeing demand going up. We're seeing prices come back a little bit.
Heidi Elcock, Tom Gutierrez, thank you for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Heidi's with the Detroit Vacant Property Campaign, and Tom is with the Grandmont Rosedale Development Corporation. And just today, the city of Detroit released a massive Detroit Future City Plan with hundreds of ideas. It suggests future investment in population centers like the West McNichols Hospital Corridor and Midtown, and letting other areas be used for other purposes, such as turning empty neighborhoods into farms, forests, and ponds. We'll keep you posted on this story and much more here on Stateside.